Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. That sounds silly. Why would anyone celebrate a Feast of Trumpets? I don't see a lavish banquet spread out before me. Do you? Trumpets. Do you hear trumpets? I don't either. And why am I being asked to open my wallet and give my hard-earned money to a bunch of people I don't even know? I even hear their God has a son. He probably wants my wallet too. About this time, you're probably thinking, this man needs an attitude adjustment. If he keeps this up, God's going to give him one. Well, if this were your thinking, you'd be correct in your assumption. But this is exactly the way the majority of people around the world look upon us today. A bunch of crazed religious fanatics who are all going to hell because they don't know Jesus. And they certainly don't understand the Bible. What does God have to say about this? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. You can just write these verses down and look them up later to save some time. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Brethren, we are the weak and foolish of the world. We're different. We're defined by our differences. We're clearly told to come out of this world, not to walk in the ways of this world. Leviticus 23 provides the first full outline in Scripture, the Feast of God, which lay out His incredible plan of salvation for mankind. Stressed here is the fact that these are God's feast, holy days, holy convocations, commanded assemblies. We must always obey God in observing these feasts, to be in His presence and receive instruction from Him. These are appointed times to show Him appreciation, respect, and honor. In Deuteronomy 16 and verses 16 and 17, we have a review of these feast times. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in a place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. Brethren, we must always be mindful of the fact that this earth and all its resources belong to God. God graciously allows us to use them. For what He's given us, we have a financial obligation to Him. And through the system of tithes and offerings, that responsibility is satisfied. The Old Testament introduces tithing as an established and ongoing practice. Later, it was codified as part of God's law given to Israel in the wilderness. Through the Apostle Paul, the New Testament church confirmed that the ministry and the work of the church is to be financially supported by the individual members of the body. Tithing is giving a percentage of one's income as set by God. And offerings are given as determined by the individual's evaluation of what he's able. The church doesn't enforce or police tithing, but teaches the obligation the individual has to honor God with his substance and the first fruits of all his increase. It's our individual responsibility to do what's right before God. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Our forefathers all had one thing in common. Faith. An unwavering faith in our eternal God. By having this unwavering faith, they prospered greatly, both spiritually and physically. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of the wise men and their wonderful gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh given to the young Jesus. And the poor widow who gave an offering of two mites, even though she lived in a state of poverty, they also shared this one thing in common, an unwavering faith in our eternal God, knowing God would watch over them, care for them, even during their most trying of times. Brethren, by our having this unwavering faith in eternal God, we also can prosper greatly, spiritually and physically. Spiritual blessings include, but are certainly not limited to, the veil, the scales being removed from her eyes, that the truth of God may be clearly seen. Having a deep desire to please God, to do His will. Physical blessings not only include good health, when God's dietary laws are followed, but also financial security. When I first became acquainted with the Church of God, I remember hearing Mr. Herbert Armstrong, the late founder and leader of the worldwide Church of God, speak about tithing. He would quote Malachi 3 and verses 8 through 10. Let's review these verses for ourselves and see what God truly has to say about tithing. Turn to Malachi 3, please. Malachi chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 8. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Yet you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I hate to admit it, but even after hearing Mr. Armstrong quote these verses, I still was a little skeptical. After all, this was an entirely new concept in giving for me. Being brought up in the Protestant faith, we didn't give on a regular basis. So I decided to take God at His word, test Him. I decided to give a tenth of my income each month. This was a major commitment for me. I truly had to step out in faith. Like I said, I was a little skeptical at first. I had just started a business, and my income wasn't all that great. In fact, there were several occasions when I thought I'd lose everything I'd worked for. But I did keep faithfully tithing. You know what? God never let me down. The money never failed to come in. The bills were always paid. God will never let you down. How do I know this? God cannot lie. Read this for yourself. Titus 1, verse 2. It's impossible for God to lie. Read it. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. When God tells you He will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, believe Him. Put God to the test, as I did. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Most of us today, like physical Israel, only look for physical blessings the majority of the time. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't look for and be thankful for the physical blessings we've been given. But we must also remember the example of the wise men who truly knew that God had blessed them, and they're being selected to be among the first to proclaim, worship, and bring an offering to our Lord and Master. Brethren, God knows we're going through some economic challenging times, and He knows it's going to get even worse before it gets better. These are the times we must look to God for deliverance. These are the times our faith is being tested. Are we going to cave in under the pressures of this world and rob God of His portion of what truly belongs to Him? Are we going to step out in faith and truly support the work of God? We're told in Matthew 24 and verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. This commission of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God cannot be accomplished without the continued generous support of all true believers. Not only those who are baptized members of God's church, but also God's co-workers, those whom God is calling, working with, but haven't yet made the full commitment to follow Christ. Are we to impoverish ourselves in our giving? Absolutely not. But we are to strive to have a godly attitude and give from the heart, knowing all good gifts are a blessing from God. Our income, the profit from the fruit of our labor, is a blessing from God. Everything we have is a blessing from God. When we refuse to return a portion of what He's given us, we rob Him. Do we selfishly want to keep 100% of what God gives? Are we willing to return at least 10% for helping to advance His work? And ultimately, quicken the return of Christ. By our tithing, we show our deep love, our appreciation to God, by returning a portion of what He's allowed us to earn. God wants us to live a life of give. Mr. Armstrong explained on many occasions, there are two ways to live life. The give way, which is God's way, and the get way, which is the way of this world, Satan's way. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. But, now there's a little stipulation here, not to give grudgingly or for necessity. A gift given grudgingly or for recognition loses its value. We must give with the deepest consideration and thanksgiving for the many blessings we receive from God. Brethren, world conditions tell us our time is short. There isn't much time left to fulfill the commission God gave to His church. We have our work cut out for us, whether we're a member of God's church or a co-worker, a supporter of the work. I pray we will all do our part in supporting the work set before us. Don't be the one on the outside looking in when Jesus Christ returns, wondering what happened. Let's all do our part now in the support of God's great work and quicken Christ's return. I'll conclude by giving God's antidote for our struggling economy. It can be summed up with one word: tithe.